Good Wednesday morning. Welcome into the 7 a.m. hour of the Morning Roast, broadcasting from the Greenway Equipment Studios, your locally owned John Deere dealer. See the Smith Brothers in Bangor and Ellsworth because nothing runs like a deer. Fat Panda Boba Tea and Market on Harlow Street in Bangor next to Gosselin's Bakery. Sip fresh boba, explore snacks, ramen, and their tasty Jamaican patties. Also visit their brewer location on Wilson Street next to the Hannaford. And Next Home, they're the market leader. Get looped and get sold with the Next Home experience. Brian Sullivan, Tyler Cruz, Marcus Caesar here on this Wednesday. Tyler, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. A.J. Brown is officially a Patriot. We heard from him last time, got our first video of Drake May throwing him a pass and ending with a one-handed catch. This is, life is good. Life is great. The Red Sox didn't play last night. They didn't lose. None of that happened. I'm just blocking all that out. A.J. Brown's a Patriot.
There you go. Life is good in that regard. Marcus, how are you?
I'm doing great. I think I'll be wrapped up in time to catch Knicks Spurs today, and I couldn't be more excited.
What do you got for ticket TV?
I believe we're going to be out in Old Town doing softball and baseball.
Fun.
Indeed, that is correct. 4:30, Orono at Old Town, the crosstown rivalry renewed. 4:30, first pitch for baseball and softball. That is your ticket TV schedule this afternoon. As you guys winding down that regular season, getting ready for some postseason play. Red Sox did actually play last night. Connelly early, gave up a couple of long balls. They cannot win at home, Tyler. Why not?
I don't know. They are, what, 9-20 now or something like that at home? They have one of the, probably the worst home record in baseball. I don't have the stat in front of me, but right now you are, I think you're the sixth, I was doing the math last night, you're the sixth worst team in the league, fourth worst in the AL. Like, there's not many people worse than you.
So, Sox lose last night. Vegas, crazy comeback. They beat the Hurricanes 5-4 in game one of the Stanley Cup final. Our guy, John Tortorella, out there. Just watching that one. Carolina up big to start, but Vegas just fights back. This Vegas team seems like they're kind of on a mission. I Carolina's just mowed through the playoffs, but Vegas is just scrappy.
Yeah. Yeah, and they are fun to watch. It's interesting with the story of that team. You know, you've got the interim head coach, you've got Tortorella, the UMaine guy. It's fun to see them come together at the right time. Only 39 wins in the regular season, and now they are, you know, one game up in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And like Marcus said, the NBA Finals begin tonight. This one, you know, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said, and I think I did say, whoever comes out of the West, it's a foregone conclusion they're going to win it.
Yeah. And if you asked me 4 weeks ago, I would have said the Celtics.
It is now going to be the Knicks. It is going to be the Spurs. So, what do you think about this one?
I'm excited. This is going to be a good one. This is two big historical NBA franchises. You know, the Knicks and the Spurs have a lot of NBA history. They've met in the finals before. I think it was 99 was the last time they did it. This is it's the new guard in Victor Wembanyama versus the, like, you know, your old kind of classic franchise looking to get back on the map and win their ring. There's a lot of fun stories in this one. I'm excited for it. The Knicks have had a full week off to scout and watch the Western Conference Finals. The Spurs are coming off a hard-fought win in Game 6 and 7. This is I'm excited. Obviously, the Spurs are the better team on paper, but with all the rest the Knicks have and the way they can run, I think they can make this a series. I think this is going to be fun.
We'll talk about that and much more as we roll along here. Available when ordering, make delivery through Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, 2 sausage McMuffins with egg, 2 hotcakes, 4 hash browns, and 4 small hot coffees, all for just $19.99. This bundle deals over 40% off and available for a limited time. Order at your local family-owned McDonald's on Main Street, Union Street, Bangor, and Wilson Street in Brewer. All right, let's do some headlines and highlights there, Marcus. All right, Boston Red Sox in action last night. They fall to the Orioles. Give me Chad Tracy talking about how things are going and where they go from here. Sox with Peyton Tolley on the mound tonight. It's interesting that they have been so bad when other teams in years past have been so good at Fenway Park, built to play at Fenway Park, to bang walls off the wall, balls off the wall.
Use the monster. Yeah,
and this team is not built that way.
It's very nice. I know we'll probably play it in a second to hear Kiner Falefa blame the players and take accountability rather than kind of, I think it's very easy right now when the fans aren't into it and they're chanting sell the team to blame the fans for the poor performance at home, but it's nice to hear them kind of take some accountability and put it on themselves.
Let's hear from Isaiah Kiner Falefa here.
Kate. A lot of people we don't know is what strikes me. You know, I brought the comparison to Jason Tatum bringing his kid around everywhere with him. Everyone knows who that is, right? If they had their family members, their close family members, everyone knows who those people are. Everyone probably knows who, you know, Mrs. Chad Tracy is, but it's the people they don't know walking in and out. Like, is it a different gaggle of people every day surrounding Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, those type of guys? It's an interesting quote to break down to try and read between the lines of.
Yeah, it really is. Like, what are we doing when we're not playing baseball, and who's around us when we're in Boston? Because certainly distractions are out there if you allow them to creep in. A.J. Brown spoke to the media in New England. Give me number eight here. Here's A.J. Brown excited to be in Foxborough. That's kind of nice to hear.
That's
right?
Awesome. Yeah. That is great. Did someone that, you know, get a star that wants to be in the room. We said this, once Drake May starts playing like a stud, like he did last year, we'll have that Patriot vibe back again, where free agents want to come play with us. They want to come be in Foxborough. Feel the magic, baby. Like, let's go. This is 14 wins last year. Now you bring in AJ Brown. I am pumped. Give me to July. Give me to October.
Just a realm where you run the ball. I can just already envision where you're able to run the ball a little bit, set up the play action pass, and A.J. Brown's ability to separate here. Give me Dan Orlovsky here. Give me number nine on Orlovsky and what A.J. Brown brings to the field. So you got, you know, an interesting spot there with just what A.J. Brown brings to the field, just because it is so fun to the thought of having a number one wide receiver and to have what he could possibly mean for this offense, because you haven't had a guy like him
in a while.
You know, in more than a decade, right?
At the wide receiver position, yeah, and yep. More than a decade. You know, maybe Rob Gronkowski's the last guy that, like, A.J. Brown's a big dude, too. This is going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. And last year, you know, teams could just say, like, all right, we're going to go, we'll play man, and, you know, if they beat us, they'll beat us. Now it's like, we'll play man, and we have to make sure A.J. Brown doesn't beat us. This is going to be a guy that has a second defender. This is great for Romeo Doubs. It's going to be great for the run game when teams are, you know, playing you to pass. You get Drake May and A.J. Brown, teams aren't going to be as worried about Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson. So this is going to be, it's going to be fun. I am very excited for the Patriots season now. That it, you know, it's always fun watching a good defensive team, but think about how much fun you had that one year with Tom Brady. Not one year, but the Tom Brady Randy Moss year, where they just took the top off of every defense. They're putting up like 50 points a game. Like, yeah, offense is fun. Scoring points is fun. It's got fun.
Yeah, I mean, you could even, the last time they really took a big swing like this under Belichick is they only got Brandon Cooks. They gave up a first round pick for Brandon Cooks that one year he was here. Flipped him the next year, but it's been not a lot of times that you've gone into a Patriots season with a guy who's like your foregone conclusion, number one overall option, this good. I mean, no offense to Steph Diggs last year, and he was pretty darn good as well, but A.J. Brown's a different animal. Dairy Queen of Bangor, the new DQ Blizzard DQ Breakfast Collection. You can enjoy a Cinnamon Toast Crunch Dip Cone, Fruity Pebble Shake, the Choco Frosted Donut Blizzard Treat. Whether it's breakfast time or not, visit 668 Broadway in Bangor. DQ, happy, tastes good. And stuck on the side of the road, Unitree Towing has you covered 24-7 statewide, from breakdowns to lockouts. Get you moving fast, 942-4200, driven to be there when you need them most. Back with more after this. Dean's Detailing is the leader in auto detailing, has been for over 55 years. New vehicles appearance, protect your auto investment, look good and feel good in a clean, shiny car. Book your appointment at deansdetailing.com. In Acadia FCU, their newest location is now open on Wilson Street in Brewer, serving Maine since 1963 with branches in Bangor, Brewer, and Arista County. Learn more at acadiafcu.org. Brian Sullivan, Tyler Cruz, Marcus Caesar here on this Wednesday morning. Time for the stock report. I'm going to offer this one up. I think stock up on NBA, NHL finals, Stanley Cup final, NBA championship. I think that we are about to be treated to a delight for the next 2 weeks.
I can't wait. And usually I'm a guy where those two championships probably rank third and fourth out of four for me. You know, like, I'd take
if you don't have
a dog in the fight,
yeah, sure.
I'd take the World Series. If I don't have a dog in any of the fights in any of the four major sports, first of all, we probably have a problem. Second of all, I'll watch the World Series and I'll watch the Super Bowl more than I'll watch the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals. I am very excited for this year's NBA Finals. I am usually not someone who's excited for the NBA Finals outside of if the Celtics are playing in it. For a while, I thought the NBA was kind of a boring-ish product. It was like, all right, who's LeBron going to play? I think it was LeBron versus the Warriors for, what, four or five straight years or something like that. Now it's interesting again. And Wembanyama is kind of must-see TV. He's like when Shohei Ohtani first broke onto the scene in baseball. You kind of got to watch this guy. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the two fan bases also add a lot to it. Spurs and Knicks fans are very, Knicks fans are just rabid, so that's always fun. I'm excited. It's going to be a blast. And then we in Maine have a dog in the fight in the NHL with John Tortorella. This is it's a fun period of time, and it's a period of time where the Red Sox stink and the Celtics are out, so we kind of expected to have nothing. And here we are relishing in these two championships.
You don't have to just watch the A.J. Brown one-handed catch over and over and over and over again, because it's stuff to entertain you, because there's more than just practice field Patriot stuff. But yeah, if that game last night in the NHL is indicative of what's coming our way, a 5-4 Vegas win, I think that we are going to have some must-see TV over the next couple of weeks here, which is nice with the Red Sox in the state of affairs that they are. Okay, here's a question. If you are buying, if you have, intellectual property or the ability of something going to be replayed, a GIF or whatever, a meme, does Joe Adell, is he going to have the legs that Jose Canseco has? Because if you missed it, Joe Adell, who Marcus astutely pointed out in the break, robbed 3 home runs in one single game earlier this year, had a ball bang off his head and go over the fence, just like Jose Canseco did all those years ago. Will Joe Adell, over his head for a home run, will Joe Adell's video live in infamy the way that Jose Canseco's did?
I don't think so. Just because Canseco was a star and he was this big, buff, steroid, macho man, and, you know, bounces off his head and goes over the wall. I think if it was like a Mike Trout or somebody a little bit bigger than that, than Joe Adell, then yeah, that would have a little bit of staying power. But in a couple of years, someone's going to bring up Joe Adell and be like, yeah, I've never heard of him. I don't have his number. What do you want? You know?
Or it's going to be, oh, hey, the guy that grabbed those 3 home runs.
3 home runs in one game. Cool. Yeah.
It seems like ESPYs could have some fun with Joe Adell, because he could get the best single game defensive performance and
the worst play of the year.
The worst play of the year. Yeah, right? Like, hey, if you come, we're going to give you this award, but you also have to take this one. How does Joe Adell feel about it? Okay. Here's one. Garrett Crochet, update on coming back. Trevor Story says his goal is to come back this year. Roman Anthony
says that the Roman Anthony thing is very funny, because I was like, yeah, it's actually a partial tear. I don't know if they said that when they, I think Sam Kennedy had said it was a sprain. If you look up the definition of a sprain, it's partial tear of a ligament. So I thought that was kind of funny.
So where are you on these guys and their return to play? You want to buy stock in Chris Sale 2026 pitching innings or Roman Anthony at bats or Trevor Story 7 foot on the field again?
Garrett Crochet, you mean? Yeah.
What did I say?
Chris Sale.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I would love to get Chris Sale back. Yeah. He's playing phenomenal right now. I do think we see Garrett Crochet, just because he's a guy he's so big and he takes care of his body. Same with Trevor Story. He's a pro. Roman Anthony, I don't know. I mean, you're out there and you're purposely going on interviews to contradict what the team said about your finger, which wasn't really a contradictory statement, and you can barely swing a bat. You know, like it's like, oh, Roman Anthony took some dry swings and felt good, and then next week it's like we're shutting it down all over again. Roman Anthony has ripped his ring finger wide open. Like, it just, I think with how all the pressure put on Roman Anthony this year to start the year, it might be better if he just kind of tries again next year. You know, does it, you know, because say he comes back at 85% and tries to push through and hurts himself again or doesn't do it, then year two is kind of, that's your label, you know, like that's how people remember you by. People still kind of take 2025 into account when they talk about Roman Anthony. If he were to come back and crap the bed, I think he'd be viewed as more of a bust rather than a prospect or a project.
When you factor in the statement that you maybe want guys to pack it in until next year, and what Isaiah Kiner-Falefa said about all the distractions that are in and around the team when they are in Boston, where do we go from here as just a clubhouse? Does Roman Anthony there are reports that he's had a lot of fun, going out in Boston after games, and he's shutting down bars and things like that. Are you worried at all about, like, this guy's supposed to be the guy, and now you're in the middle of year two where he doesn't play baseball games?
I am worried, and I think firing Alex Cora was bad for Roman Anthony. I do. I think you had a guy who was a vet who knew what it took to succeed, who had been there a while, who I think Roman Anthony looked up to, responded to, and maybe not like looked up to, like adored him, but he responded to him. He listened to him, and now I don't think Chad Tracy has that same power over Roman Anthony as Alex Cora did. I think it's like, yeah, as the AAA interim manager and I'm Roman Anthony, I'm going to be here way longer than you. You know, I think you needed that veteran, older player voice in your manager role for Roman Anthony and those younger kids. I think the lack of discipline is going to impact him.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought about maybe the substitute teacher mentality. I was here before you, I'll be here after you. Okay, interesting stuff. Northeast Driving School has been the leader in driver training for over 57 years. Register today for driver's ed course at Greater Bangor's number one driving school, 942-1769, or register at northeastdrivingschool.com. And Casella, good pay, good people, good life. Find your place at powerofhardwork.com. All right, we're going to talk with Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub in just a bit. Back with more after this. The 2026 Ticket Awards are coming June 22nd to Hero Sports Grill in downtown Bangor. The event's going to be broadcast live on Ticket TV at 929theticket.com and on the Ticket app. 30 categories of excellence in 2025 and 26 sports seasons. Round two of voting is underway and concludes today, June 3rd. Cast your votes at 929theticket.com. Vote early, vote often for the Ticket Awards. All right. A.J. Brown is a member of the New England Patriots. The compensation, a 2028 first-round pick and a fifth-round pick as well. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, talking on 98.5 The Sports Hub about the compensation and the dealing with the Eagles general manager Howie Roseman. Where do you land on this one, Tyler?
I like it. I think this is what, you know, like, I guess you could have elongated the process a little more, like Felger hints to at the end, and you could have said, you know, like, yeah, why don't you hold on to him? I'm not giving up my first and my fifth. I think that's just the cost of doing business. Like, you know, you're dealing with Howie Roseman. He's one of the better GMs out there in football. I don't think he's going to give up AJ. I don't think they wanted to give up AJ Brown. Brown obviously didn't want to be there anymore. I look at this as a win-win. You know, like, you're the Eagles. You gave up a player that didn't want to play for you, and you got two draft picks in return. If you're the Patriots, you identified a star player that you wanted to pair your quarterback with, and you went out and you got the job done. You didn't recreate him in the aggregate. You didn't say, well, Romeo Doubs does this and this other guy does this really well, so we put them together. And that's basically just like having A.J. Brown. You didn't do that. You didn't sign someone that could be him in a couple years in a project. No, you identified a star player. You went out and you got it. Sometimes that's going to cost you a first-round pick. Sometimes it's going to cost you, you know, things you don't want to give up. But in the end of the day, if you want to play the game, you got to play the game. You know, like, if you want to go get A.J. Brown, you got to give up a first-round pick, I think. I think if you want to pair Drake May with a top-end wide receiver, there's things you have to do to be able to do that. This is how you general manage. You want to add talent, you pay a price.
You walked onto the lot, you saw the sticker price, and you paid the sticker price. And after the fact, the salesman got you to buy gap insurance and an undercoating and a couple of extra things. Like, you paid sticker price for something that you wanted.
But you paid sticker price for a luxury thing. Yeah. You didn't pay sticker price for, you're not paying sticker price on a Toyota.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Like, A.J. Brown is, you know, worth the sticker price.
Yeah. This is a Mustang. This is a Porsche. Yeah. This is something, you know, maybe more like a something at Hardy, SUV,
yeah.
Something, you know, high end.
Bronco.
Yeah, there you go. So, but that's what it is like, you didn't negotiate, you didn't barter, you didn't chip it down, right? Like, you could have, you paid the price.
You might have tried.
To not allow other things to factor in. Like, well, okay, if it's you're only going to give us a two, okay, fine. Well, like I said, let's just wait and hopefully they blink and you're not allowing any other factors to come into it.
But now he's here. He's here on June 2nd. So, you know, like, he's not here mid-July. He's not here just before camp. He's here on June 2nd. And also, like, you don't owe Drake May money. Like, if you're going to overpay, if you're going to spend your first-round picks, like, you don't have to pay Drake May for another, I think, couple of years. I think he's under his rookie contract for 1 to 2 more years. Like, this is, and A.J. Brown isn't even costing that much money. He's costing like $7 million this year. It's perfect. Resign Gonzalez, and now you've got May, Brown, Gonzalez. You're good to go for a while.
All right. Tyler loves it. You've convinced me. We'll see what Alex Barth thinks about it. 98.5 The Sports Hub coming up right after the break. But first, I want to tell you that you can connect with the Ticket social media channels on 929 The Ticket on Facebook, 929 The Ticket on Instagram, sports.net.main on TikTok, and our YouTube page, sportsnetmain. Back with more after this. Hero Sports Grill Entertainment Center is the official sports grill of the roast in downtown Bangor and herosportsgrill.com. Now joining us on the Heroes Hotline is Alex Barth of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Alex, how are you?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
We're doing very well. Excited to have A.J. Brown in the fold officially after much discussion about it. What was the energy like watching him out there yesterday?
It was great. That was one of the more hyped OTA practices I think I've ever covered. He definitely brings the energy on the field. You can see it now. It's the first day, right? And it'll become normal that he's here over time. But you couldn't. And he wears bright, neon cleats. You couldn't miss him anywhere he went, and players gravitating towards him and things like that.
So we heard about it for a long time. In the end, just give me your thoughts on him coming here and the compensation that the Patriots sent out for him? Do you think it was a good deal for the Pats?
I think it was. Look, when they moved on from Stephon Diggs, you can't have Drake May have the year he had last year, MVP runner-up in his second season, and then come back with less than a wide receiver. And I don't think Romeo Doubs is a bad addition, but you look at what Stephon Diggs gave them, and they moved on from him. They, as it was built, they were less than a wide receiver. Now, I think A.J. Brown, they, stylistically, they're different. Doubs is more the you know, X and O's replacement for Diggs, but I think Brown's a better player, and he becomes that coverage-dictating wide receiver. So they had to make a move like this. Giving up a first-round pick, even if it's 2 years down the road, you know, if you punch it into the spreadsheet and you go off whatever analytics model you want to go off, did the Patriots maybe send out more value than they got back? Yeah, probably. But I think that that's what you have to do to get a player like this. We've done this for how many years now, going back to Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Smith and DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Ayuk, Odell Beckham, DK Metcalf. How many off seasons has it been a talking point of them chasing this kind of receiver? And they haven't done it. And every time they miss out, we say, well, you got to get uncomfortable to make that move. And they didn't get uncomfortable. Well, now they did. And when you look at the cost of not doing it and coming back with less than at wide receiver for Drake May after the season he had last year, it makes sense. And you hope that 2028 pick, the goal should be making a move like this, that pick is in the late 20s or ideally the 30s, and if that's the case, I don't think anybody's really going to blink twice at what they ultimately gave up.
Does this make the Patriots Super Bowl contenders? I know they were Super Bowl runners-up last year, but the game wasn't particularly close. Does this put them up there as like favorites to go back to that game?
I think to go back, certainly. There's a really strong argument that they have the best roster in the AFC. There's a pretty wild talent imbalance right now between the AFC and NFC. So it's tough to, like, they're Super Bowl contenders. You get to that point, whoever you face is going to be tough, especially if Aaron Donald comes back for the Rams, him next to Myles Garrett, that might be the greatest defensive line of all time. But, I think it's fair to say that they should be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. They have the best roster. They are in the best position to do that this year.
Alex, what do you think the road ahead looks like with Christian Gonzalez?
So Mike Vrabel said yesterday that he kind of made it sound like he expects Gonzalez to be at minicamp next week, which would be notable. And now be there could be a hold in. He could be in shorts and a t-shirt on the side watching, but he's there, so he's not getting fined. Be there could be participating. If the contract signs, then obviously he will be there. So next week's a big week. Does he show up or not? If he shows up, how does he participate, assuming the contract doesn't get done before then? If he's not there next week, it's a holdout because we're in mandatory practices now. You can't, like, is he holding out of OTAs? Technically, maybe, but he doesn't have to be there right now. So you don't really get that impact until you get to minicamp. So it'll be all eyes next week, and then we'll see. Look, we've seen these kind of deals not get done until July. For me, the big checkpoint is the first padded practice. Even if he misses the first few days of training camp, not great, and that's a distraction, and you'd rather not worry about it, but we've seen these drag into July and maybe the first couple days of August. They're not so far behind the timeline of how these negotiations tend to go. So I think it's, is he at minicamp? And then if he's not, it's, can they get it done by the start of August and the start of padded practices? And if they don't do that, then you start to go to like another level of concern about where this thing is at.
Do you think there's any chance he plays without the extension?
I'd be surprised. I mean, there's always a chance, and he is under contract. Like, he's going to have to play to hit free agency. You hope it doesn't come to that, right? Like, he clearly wants to get paid. That's kind of been signaled. If he plays without the extension, you're probably talking about a scenario where he's playing to get the 10-year year and get to free agency, and he's not going to come back after that.
So, Alex, what's the negotiation? Because, you know, what are they quibbling over? What are they negotiating here? Because the way that these things usually go is the guy that gets signed sets the market, and for a couple of months he's the top paid until the next guy signs. That's just based on how it usually goes. So what do you think the negotiations are?
Well, that could be part of it. Devin Witherspoon is set to get paid this year too, and he's also probably going to reset the market. They're similar caliber players. So neither one of them, I would think, is particularly eager to sign. They both want to be the second one to sign. And I think that, you know, there was some reporting that Witherspoon's conversations are going slowly as well. So that's part of it. On top of that, it could be any number of things. So there's going to be that AAV number. They could be talking about years. They could be talking about structure of the guarantees. We know the Patriots use like per game roster bonuses and things like that, the structure of those. So all the fine print, the details, the nuance, that's all going to have to be worked out. The AAV for Gonzalez, assuming he signs first, my guess is going to be around $32 million. The highest AAV right now is 31.1. So my guess is it's going to be $32 million, maybe a tiny bit more than $32 million. It's just how that $32 million breaks down, how the bonuses are structured, all that, and again, the years, because the highest paid usually goes by AAV, so is it going to be over 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that kind of thing.
Alex, who are these Patriots? Trading first-round picks for wide receivers, paying cornerbacks, eventually top of the market. Next year after that, quarterback probably getting top of the market. What's happening in Gillette?
The most valuable thing you can have in the NFL is a high-level quarterback on a rookie contract. This is and look, that's not to say Drake May is going to fall off a cliff as soon as he gets paid. This is the best position that you can be in, and it's a very short period of time. You have to capitalize on it. That's just the NFL. Like, this is the window you capitalize on. And then Drake May is going to get paid, and maybe they don't spend as much on some other players. We've seen this happen to teams around the league all the time. But this is a 2 to 3 year window that you have to make the most of. As an NFL organization, because situations like this don't come along very often. Think about it. As good position as the Patriots are, well, I was going to say as good position as the Patriots are, they haven't been in this spot in decades, but Brady was Brady, and he was different, and he would take those pay cuts. So they were always sort of kind of in this position because Brady's a unicorn and 1-on-1 and all of that. But, like, you don't get to be in this position a lot. This is a once every few decades thing, because if you have the quarterback that's good, he's going to be here for a while, albeit getting paid. So you don't get that kind of quarterback on a rookie contract again for a bit. So they're trying to capitalize on a very rare opportunity that exists only in a very small window.
So assuming Gonzalez is getting 30-something million this year, you brought Brown in, you don't owe him a lot. Are there any other moves you see the Patriots making? I've seen Stephon Diggs' name floated out there. I know they've got a lot of wide receivers on the team right now. I'd be shocked if Kayshon Boutte starts the year with them. Where do you see them going next?
I love Diggs. I think you add Diggs to this, and it's Brown, Diggs, and Dobbs. That's your best group since Moss, Welker, Stallworth, Gaffney. And I don't know that it's quite as good as that group, but it's definitely the best since, right? So I'd be all for them bringing back Diggs. I don't know how realistic that is. The move I'd like to see them make is add on the edge. I think that their biggest weakness right now is their edge rusher group. They have a lack of depth. Harold Landry's coming back off an injury. I do think it is a little worrying that Gabe Akers hasn't been able to get on the field for his rookie OTAs. And then after those guys is Draymond Jones, who's a solid player, but more of a complimentary player. Elijah Ponder, who only played 200 snaps last year. And then that's kind of it for guys with NFL experience. So I look at the New York Giants. I wrote a column about this yesterday at 98.5thesportshub.com. Patriots have extra wide receivers, like you mentioned, not enough on the edge. The Giants are signing Odell Beckham and Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, they're clearly desperate at receiver, and they have extra bodies on the edge. They've drafted edge rushers in the first round each of the last 2 years, plus they have Brian Burns. Could you flip Kayshon Boutte for a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau? And I think that would be a win-win. So bringing back Diggs would be super fun, and ultimately they'd be a better team for it. I wouldn't be against it. The more realistic move, and the move that I think ultimately would help round out the roster more, would be if they could find a way to flip Kayshon Boutte for an edge rusher.
All right, he's Alex Barth from 95thesportshub.com. What do you got coming our way, Alex?
So we'll have more stuff. Busy day yesterday. Will Campbell gave an update on his knee injury, so we'll have some stuff up on that. More on the Gonzalez situation, all that. And then minicamp next week, more of it. And then we finally get into roster projections. So check out 98.5thesportshub.com for that.
Awesome. Alex, we appreciate you taking some time. So much stuff going on, and it's only June, so we appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll talk again real soon.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Alex Barth, 98.5, the Sports Hub, joining us on the Heroes Hotline. Our takeaways are next. All right, welcome back. This afternoon on Ticket TV, you got Double Dip Orno at Old Town Softball and Baseball, both starting at 4:30, so no drive. The crew is deployed to both of those games, single location. So that is what's going on this afternoon. Our Sox prop, Peyton Tolley, 6 strikeouts tonight. We're going for that one. And Tyler, what are you leaving with?
I'm leaving with the Patriots haven't had a wide receiver average 60 reception yards per game since 2019, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't Gronk. 2018 was Gronk. And this is what you got to do. You know, Alex said it. You've got a great quarterback on a rookie deal, so you got to capitalize now. Sometimes it takes sending a first-round pick for a 29-year-old wide receiver, but sometimes it works out, and I think A.J. Brown is going to work out tremendously here in Foxborough. I'm very excited to have him on board.
Marcus?
I have no enemies, but I do have adversaries, and the New England Patriots are one of them. I am very happy for you guys, my boys, that you guys got the target, the apple of your eye, but you guys are going to lose the Super Bowl to the Rams.
Okay.
It's fine with me.
Cross the bridge and we come to it. I just saw SportsCenter threw up a stat that said Patriots haven't had a wide receiver average 60 yards or more receiving in a game since 2019.
I just said that. That was my takeaway.
That was it, yeah. Sorry, I was locked in on other things. I'll say, how about NBA Finals are going to be good. NHL is going to be, Stanley Cup's going to be great as well. Yeah, tell me I wasn't paying attention without telling me I wasn't paying attention. That's funny. All right, that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of The Roast. Back tomorrow at 6 a.m.